Well, hello. Thank you for joining in today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you for honoring the Lord and studying His Word. Today we're going to get back into our study of the letter A2, which is angels. We've been studying about angels. We've had one lesson so far, and found out quite a bit about angels and what our Bibles have to say about it, didn't we? Just to recap a little bit, we began talking about how God's Word describes angels. Maybe there's something that has happened in your life, and I'm sure if you're a Christian that it's a very good possibility that you had an encounter, but that sounds kind of worldly in the wrong sense. But after we go over our study today, you're going to find out that angels have a lot to do with the body of Christ. Angels do a lot of God's work for believers. And that's what we're going to study today, is how angels minister in the believer's life for the Lord. We found out that angels, concerning God's Word and how it describes them, that angels are created. They are not self-existent. They did not come from anything outside of God's domain. There is nothing outside of God's domain. God is all in all. Angels are beings that are created by God. We found out that they're spirits. They're spiritual beings. We also found out that they're immortal, that they are innumerable, and they're wise. They're powerful, the Bible calls them, and says that they excel in strength. They excel in strength. Angels are called the elect angels. I don't know exactly what that means, or I have my own thoughts about it, of what it could have to do with, but they are called the elect angels. Angels are meek, the Bible says. God's Word says that they do not marry. They are unmarried. Now, there is an instance in the Scripture where some of the fallen angels, and we'll get into that some other time, but the rule is that angels remain unmarried. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, said that when we get to heaven, we're like the angels. There is no marriage. They're unmarried, and they do not marry. But there is an instance in the Scriptures, which if you stay with this study and study along with us, we will come across that and talk about it, about some of the fallen angels that married and came in to the daughters of men. And that's where some of the giants come from that the Bible talks about, and it's in history, and it's in the Scripture unashamedly, and it is truth also. Both are true. Angels are unmarried, and they do not marry, and there is one instance in the Scriptures where they did, but the rule is they don't. Angels are invisible. They are invisible. The Bible says that they are obedient to the Lord, and it also says that they have emotions. Angels have emotions. Angels are concerned about human beings. They care about humans, but they are not human, but they care about humans. The Bible also says that angels appear as men on occasions, and we've seen that when the Lord Jesus Christ and two angels appeared to Abraham when he was headed toward Sodom or out there, and the Lord came down to go check Sodom out to find out if it was true, whether or not they was as wicked as he was told, and he came down to check it out. And two angels were with him, and they proceeded to go on to get Lot out of there before the Lord decided to destroy that place. And it was two angels, but it also called them men. It called them angels and called them men. Okay, so angels are not perfect. The Bible says that the Lord charged them with folly. charged them with folly. So I don't know how to really explain that. Folly is folly. So I really don't know what to say about it, except that maybe they were joking around or something, and they got not in a sinful way, but the Lord called it folly. But he didn't say it was sinful. Angels are, and that's what gets us to the next one, angels are holy. The Bible says that angels are holy. It also says that they have rank, and they have order, and they are organized. They're organized. I looked up that word legion when we got through with that first one, and a legion is a military term, and it says that it's anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers, and that's what they call it, a legion. It's just a term that's used like brigade or squadron or things like that. But it had some other definitions also, but I think pretty close to what the Lord was talking about was he was given a count. He said, cannot I call to my heavenly Father, and he would give me more than 12 legions? So there is a number to a legion, because the Lord identified them as 12 of them, you see. So the Lord was intending that when he said that to somebody, that they would get a figure in their mind of how many angels could come down there and get him, save him from that death and that cross if he wanted to. But 12 legions. So they said between 3,000 and 6,000. I try to look this stuff up, but nevertheless, the Lord said a legion, and he was making it, he got his point across that this ain't happening by accident. This is, nobody takes my life from me, the Lord said. I lay it down. And he did. And if he had called one, I bet them angels were sent. It said the angels just couldn't figure out what was going on, why the Son of God was down there for the human race, giving himself to be beaten by a creation, by something that he created, and letting them torture him in the flesh, and not calling on them to come and protect him. And you can imagine those angels were standing there, and they were ready. It said one angel, when we was talking about that, whenever Balaam was riding that ass, and one angel was standing out there with his sword drawn, scared that donkey to death. It wasn't a whole legion of them, or much less 12 legions of them. But either way, they have rank and order, and they're organized. And the Lord said, let everything be done decently and in order. I wouldn't see it any other way that in heaven the angels are organized. Of course, God is an organized God, and he loves order, and he loves decency. Yes, he does. Angels have voices. They have voices. And these are the things that we studied on our last recording. And today we're going to talk about the ministry of angels. And when I say ministry, things that the Lord uses the angels for concerning believers, toward believers. And when we say believers, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the bride, the born-again child of God, that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and has God the Holy Ghost indwelling you. And you're in the body. Okay? This is not talking about as far as unbelievers. This is talking about believers, what we're going to talk about today. First of all, angels guide believers. Angels guide believers. There's a lot of people that would testify that angels have been in their lives and that they've helped them. And I don't believe it's a bunch of nonsense. Matter of fact, there's some things in my life that have happened I've not told anybody, because there's just some things that you can't say. Somebody think you're a nut, or more of a nut in my case. But there has been things that's happened in my life, and maybe sometime I share it with you when we're talking about these angels and stuff like that. But I know for a fact there's been angels in my life. I know, and I know they were there for a purpose and a specific purpose. I know it. I know it. Maybe you do also. And it's not a thing of whether somebody's going to question me and talk me out of it. It don't matter what anybody says. I know it. It's just like them people that seen them UFOs and stuff like that. They say, I know what I saw. And there's been some of them that say, I ain't even going to get to talking about it. You can ask me all you want about it, but I ain't saying another word about it. I know what I saw. And, the immortality, just because it's invisible, just because angels are invisible, does not mean that we can't detect them and know that they are working in our lives. And if you're a born-again child of God, you know that God uses things to help you and to move you to do things that you ought to do and to assist you and to save you. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a car wreck and been real close to death and everything else, and things have happened in your life that are unexplainable why they happen the way they happen. You see, the laws of man and the laws of the earth, gravity and all these other things, and them laws don't apply to angels. They don't apply. Human laws don't apply to angels and heavenly things. They don't apply. They're just applicable to us. Some of us, gravity works on a lot more than some others. But anyway, angels guide believers. You say, well, guide them. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And then it says in verse 40, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son and my kindred and of my father's house. And I believe that was Isaac. Abraham arranging Isaac getting the right wife and things like that. But he said he'd send his angel. God promised him he'd send his angel before him. And he did. Angels guide believers. There's all kinds of people in the body of Christ, in Christians, that know that God uses angels to help us out. All right? That's not all. What else do angels, is a ministry of angels, does God use for as far as the believers? Well, angels provide for the believers. They provide for the believers. There are cases in the scriptures where God used angels to provide for the believers. In 1 Kings, in chapter 19 and verse 5 through 8, excuse me, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Angels can bake. They can cook. And a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drank and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And you see, the angel knew what he was there for. He knew what he was doing. He was giving sustenance to, I think it was Elijah or Elisha, one of them two. But he was giving it, he was feeding him because he had, I think it was Elijah, and he had it because he had a long trip that he was fixing to take. And the Lord used that angel to get him ready for it. And he arose and did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Boy, that angel sure made him some potent stuff, didn't he? But angels cook for people. They prepare people for things. They provide for believers. The Lord There's plenty of missionaries. There's all kinds of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that will testify that God has used angels to help them out, to prepare and get ready for things that God wants them to do and charges that God give to people. Angels provide for believers. They do. They've provided for me, and I tell you about some of that stuff sometime. Angels protect believers. They not only provide for them, and they not only guide the believers, but they also protect them. Angels have been used by the Lord to protect believers for a long time. They protect them. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7 through 9, the Bible says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now, either that scripture is right or it's wrong. It's either a true or it's a lie. And I believe it to be true. I know it to be true. And I know you do too, if it's God's word. But I'm talking specifically about what it says. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now, that didn't nail it down to individuals or certain individuals or anything else. It did, but what I mean is some people don't get this protection and some people don't get it. What I'm trying to say is there are people out there that say God does not use angels. You don't have guardian angels. Well, then what is this? The Bible says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Do you fear God? Are you saved? Are you one of his? It says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Has an angel ever helped you out of trouble? Yes, me. I don't care what anybody thinks or what they say. I know that angels have helped me in the name of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He didn't say anybody specifically, except for somebody that's trusting in God, somebody that fears him, and somebody that belongs to him. God says he uses his angels to deliver and protect, or to believe, protect believers. Protect them. Is there such thing as guardian angels? Well, according to that verse, there is. It doesn't say guardian. It says encampeth round about that fear him and delivereth them. I don't know how close that can be to guardian, but it is. I believe it because God said so. And I don't know why anybody would try to talk the scriptures out of being correct when it comes to God using his angels to protect people. Whether they are assigned, and then they want to get into this. The Bible says to avoid questions, the things that minister questions. Don't get in conversations where people just, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Or what about this? When it comes to guardian angels, and then they'll say something like, God don't give everybody a specific angel to follow him around. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? I mean, just this one verse right here that we're talking about says that God gives us angels to protect us. Now, how are you going to get past that? And it says the reason that he gives them to encamp round about them that fear him is to deliver them, protect them, to protect them. And it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a good thing that God loves to do for people. For people that fear him. If you hate God, you're on your own. And I've been in that place too. I ain't never hated God, I don't think, but I have treated him like I hate him. Now, I got out of the will of God a couple times and got out there on my own. Lord, let me run on my own. Let the devil beat on me for a while and beat on myself and sin beat on me and the world beat on me. And came running back. Praise his name. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Angels protect believers. Believe your Bible. And don't listen to all them shenanigans about people that think they know more about angels than the Bible does. God knows what he does with angels, and so do we, because we just read it. Amen. And praise his name for giving us somebody to watch out for us, huh? Amen. I mean, some of us carrying around that flesh that's going back to the grave, and that flesh gets in such a situation that you need angels to help you out, don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. And if we believe believe that angels are invisible, we believe that angels are holy, and we believe that angels don't marry, and we believe all that, why wouldn't we believe that God uses them to help us out? I know that they do, and I believe it. And ain't nobody changing my mind. Angels protect believers. That's not all. Angels deliver believers. We just read that, delivered them. Bible says, encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. But there's another place in the scriptures, and if you remember correctly, remember in the Bible, where Daniel, remember? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 21 and 22, then said Daniel unto the king, remember? Them guys set Daniel up for being a Christian. He was praying, and he was devoted to the Lord, and his allegiance was to the Lord, and they knew it. And they knew he prayed three times a day, and they used that to set him up to get him sent to the lion's den and kill him and get him out of there. And the king, they also set the king up and just doing a bunch of deceitful stuff. And got Daniel sent to the lion's den. But then the king couldn't go back on what he said. He had to keep his word. And it said it bothered him real bad that he sent Daniel there, because he cared for Daniel. But he sent him there, and before he put the hatch over the door where he was down in there with them lions, he said, the Lord will protect your God. Your God will protect you. And listen to what Daniel told him in the morning when he went running back there to see if lions had ate him up. He said, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. God sent an angel. Daniel said he did. Daniel said God sent an angel. And that angel sat there and pointed his finger at them lions and said, don't you even think of it. And them lions was hungry, because after Daniel got out of there, he got all them fellas that and their wives and their children, and threw them all in the lion's den. It said they didn't even hit the bottom of the lion's den before them lions went off on them and was breaking their bones and chewing them up and everything else before they even got to the bottom of the den. So, angel protected Daniel. Angels protect believers. Angels deliver believers. They get you out of some trouble. They do. God uses them to get us out of trouble. Yes, he does. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, listen to what the Bible says. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon me, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Angel was talking to him, and an angel got in that prison somehow. I guess he can walk through things, can't he? When you're invisible, you can do just about anything you want to. But the Bible says that, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. But though he saw a vision, he thought he couldn't believe what was going on. He thought he was in a dream or a vision or something. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know. You see, that's how you ought to treat people that want to question what God's done for you and what he's used angels for in your life. If God's done something for you and used angels, you give the glory to God, of course. An angel that's working for God wouldn't take glory from God. He wouldn't take your glory from God. He would point you to the Lord to glorify him. But now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He killed James, but he didn't kill Peter, because an angel came and broke him out. Yep. Angels deliver believers. They get you out of trouble. Especially when you're innocent. When you're innocent, the Lord sends angels to help you out. Yes, he does. And we believe it, don't we? That's not all. Angels gather believers. Not only do angels protect believers and deliver them and provide for them and they guide the believers, but they gather believers. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at that. And verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And of course we know that's probably the last time that people are going to be picked up during the first resurrection. It's at the end of, I think this is at the end of the tribulation period, just before the Lord comes back, or as the Lord's coming back, he gathers all that belong to him one more time. And they come up there to be with him. But the way that he does it is with angels. And he shall send his angels, plural, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Amen? So the Lord uses angels to gather believers together. Now, we know that when the Lord comes to get us, which is the next thing that's scheduled to happen in the Scripture, according to the Scripture, is the rapture. Catching away is what the Bible calls it, being caught up together. The Lord's going to come himself and descend himself, and the dead are going to rise, the dead in Christ, as far as the ones that are sleeping. They're going to arise, they're going to come back with the Lord, and they're going to get their bodies back, because the Lord's going to raise them bodies up and give them back to him perfected like unto his glorious body. And then we're going to be changed, all of us that are alive when he comes, and we're going to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But these particular people, the angels are going to gather, the Bible says. Okay, so angels gather believers. We know that that angels help us out when we come together with the saints and gather together in an assembly called a church, not a building, but an assembly. The gathering together like that. Angels help us out with that too. Angels direct activities of believers. God uses them for that. Look at Acts chapter, or let me read it to you. Acts chapter 5 and verse, or excuse me, not Acts chapter 5, but Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. There we go. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. An angel spoke to Philip. Did you get that? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The angel gave him specific directions. God had the angel give him specific directions. Why? Because Philip was fixing to win the first man other than the thief that was on the cross to the body of Christ. The first person was fixing to get saved, the Ethiopian. He sent him down there and told him, you see that man over there? Go over and witness to him. And the man was standing up there reading Isaiah and reading about the Lord. And he says, and he started asking questions, and Philip went up there and explained and preached to him Jesus, and he got saved, and he got baptized. Amen? Same way you did. Amen. Amen. So the angel gathers believers, and the angel directs activities of believers. You that win souls and have been used by the Lord to go out and soul win, specifically to go out for the purpose of soul winning, you know what I'm talking about, and you know how angels go along with you and protect you, because the enemy's out there. He fights that tooth and nail. When you go soul winning on purpose, and he knows that's what you're going out there for, is to win people that specific time, is to get with the people and start talking to them about the Lord and winning them on purpose. And it's specifically for that, the enemy will fight you, and the angels go with you. They do. They go with you and protect you. And they have been. The man that taught me, Brother Tom Whitfield, Dr. Tom Whitfield, taught me how to soul win. And we went out many, many times. Lots of college students around here where I live. I think there's three or four colleges around here. Lots and lots of college students. And you get in one of those buildings, you can go from door to door. You can talk to 50, 100 people a night. I mean, as far as just soul winning and not standing there gabbing for full 5 hours and fellowshipping or whatever, but you go soul winning. And it's something. It's something. But angels go with you on that. They direct your activities. They tell you where to go. And when you hear one tell you where to go, mind him. Do it. Angels direct activities of believers. They know God's business. They know what the Holy Ghost is doing. And the Lord will guide you. Now, we have God the Holy Ghost to guide us, but the Lord uses angels also. He sure does. Angels direct activities of believers. They did with Philip. That's New Testament. That's the gospel of the grace of God. That's the same thing, same dispensation we live in. Same thing. Angels comfort believers. Angels comfort believers. Yes, they do. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. The Bible says, And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, and there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and we'll get into that some other time about the specific angel of the Lord. There, when we're talking about angels and the angels of God, and also the Lord Jesus Christ is named the angel of the Lord, or an angel also. But we'll get into that toward the end of the study here, and you'll see that. But we're talking about angels now. This is Paul on that ship, and he told them not to leave the place, leave that port, because the Lord told them not to leave. And he gave them warning, but they left anyway. And now Paul's trying to give them some good news that God sent an angel to give him some information. And he said, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul trusted the Lord through an angel's message. You see, he said he believed God even though an angel told him that and gave him the message. That could have been the Lord Jesus Christ, but it says angel, doesn't it? And the Lord is called an angel in some places, but either way, angels comfort believers. They were scared there's going to be shipwreck. That sea was tearing that ship all to pieces, and everybody on that ship, I think it was a couple hundred on that ship, was going to die. And they was all panicking. And Paul come out there and said, everything's going to be all right. God told me through an angel last night. An angel stood by me last night and said that everybody's going to be saved. Let's get something to eat. And that's what he said. Hey, let's get something to eat. And they all believed him from then on. They started listening to him when he was talking. What else? What else? Well, angels not only direct activities and angels comfort believers. Now, we're talking specifically about believers. Angels minister to believers. They minister. And that's the title of this part that we're doing, the ministry of angels toward believers. But specifically, Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14, the Bible says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Are you an heir of salvation? You're joint heirs with Christ if you're born again. God the Father is your heavenly Father, and you're joint heirs with Christ, heir of salvation. Yes, you are. And the Bible says, "Are they not all ministering spirits," talking about angels, "sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's what the Bible says. No need to question it. Angels minister to believers. They sure do. They sure do. All right. Well, that's the first part of the ministry of angels. And I'm not sure we're going to go. We'll just stop right there and we'll go ahead and just divide these up. We talk about the ministry of angels toward believers today. And encouraging, isn't it? And not anything that we didn't already know. I mean, as we're glad that the scriptures have told us what the truth is, because now we can just let all the people that the doubters and the people that don't believe the truth about angels, that's their business. But we believe the book, Ministry of Angels Toward Believers. And I believe, just like whenever we started, that you might have said that you can testify that there has been angels. You don't know all the details about it, and you don't know how to explain it and put it all in, and most of us don't. But you know, and you believe. And the Bible says that it's so. So just disregard everybody and everything that tries to counter, try to get you to doubt what you know is true. The ministry of angels toward believers. Next time we come together, we're going to study the ministry of the angels toward unbelievers. You say toward unbelievers? Yeah. God uses angels for a lot of some other things that are not so good for unbelievers. Yeah. He sends them. The Lord uses angels to minister to us, to comfort us, to direct us, to gather us, to gather us sometimes and gather us. Says he's going to gather all them saints together before he comes down and lets this world have it. He uses angels to deliver believers, to protect them, to provide for them, and to guide them. But what's he use angels, his angels for? Remember, they're innumerable. They're without. You can't count them. So he's got plenty. But he uses some of them to minister to unbelievers. And we'll find out what that's all about on the next one. You be sure to join in. And let's keep on studying this and what our Bibles have to say about angels. And let's not doubt the Lord. Let's not let anybody make us doubt the Lord. Let's believe the Bible. Believe what it says. Amen. And we're not trying to make nothing up. And I didn't tell you anything that Brother TV wants you to believe outside of the Word of God, except that I believe it and what it says, and God's given it to us for just that reason. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So we'll stop right there, and I thank you so much. I'll give you these verses on the next one. All right. I'll give you the verses on the next one for this one, and also for the next one. The ministry of angels to believers. Next time we'll talk about the ministry of angels to unbelievers. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.